You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Let's go to the Ohio Business Machine hotline right now. OBM, Ohio Business Machine and Sharp Copiers. When it comes to Browns fans, their loyalty for our team is unconditional. Make your number one pick the preferred document services provider of the Browns, OBM. With OBM's exclusive guarantees and their designation as the only Sharp Platinum level service provider in town, they made unconditional fans out of all of their customers. Only OBM has all the X's and O's for your office when putting together a Sharp Products playbook for your business. Call 216-485-2000 or visit OhioBusinessMachines.com. Joining us now on the Ohio Business Machine hotline from the Associated Press, our good friend Tom Withers. Hey, Tom.
Hey, man, what's happening?
Not too much. Obviously, an exciting time here in Cleveland sports. It's been quite the week. The Cavs start their playoff run on Sunday. The Browns unveiled their new uniforms on Tuesday night. I know you were there. What did you think of the event, and what do you think of the new uniforms?
I thought the event was pretty cool. I thought it was a great chance for Browns fans to, you know, to get out and mingle with the players a little bit, mingle with the alumni, kind of, celebrate, kind of a new chapter here for the Browns. So I thought, as far as the event was concerned, I thought it was terrific. Sadly, I had to run out as soon as the uniforms were unveiled because we had a situation over with the Indians with Carlos Carrasco getting hit with a line drive.
Right.
So I didn't stay for too much of the aftermath, but I was there for the unveiling. And, I thought a moment that was pretty cool was when they walked out with those orange sideline parkas on and kind of menacing and then dropped them. And I'll be honest with you, I thought it, at first glance, and I was going to kind of trust my, my first impression, I liked them. I was a little taken aback at first by the nickname on the pants.
Uh-huh.
But, when you really analyze them and you get an up-close look at them, I think it's a pretty cool look. And I think, I'm not trying to, sound like a team spokesman here, I kind of embrace the idea, though, that, the newness of this city and kind of a transformational time, if you will, with Cleveland, that it's good to have something unique, and I think this is a very unique look for the Browns.
It definitely is, and Tom, we got to see a couple of the new Cleveland Browns, Dwayne Bowe and Brian Hartline, and we haven't spoken to you in a while, so I just want your thoughts on free agency. Again, Bowe, Hartline, Tremont Williams, Randy Starks, Josh McCown. What grade would you give the Browns, and what do you think is the highlight signing for the Cleveland Browns?
I'd reserve judgment on a grade until we see how these guys, how they pan out and how they play, but I think they address some obvious needs. I've liked Hartline for a long time, and not just because I'm a Buckeye. I mean, he's a sure-handed receiver, good route runner, good guy, solid player. He's going to be that third down guy that, that we don't have anymore with Miles Austin gone. I think he's going to be a huge addition. Dwayne Bowe, I mean, let's see what happens. He obviously strung together some tremendous years out in Kansas City. Didn't necessarily play very well last year, but some of that could be a byproduct of Kansas City's quarterback situation. So I thought those were two excellent pickups. For an offense, let's be quite honest, is devoid of real playmakers right now. They need some guys that can stretch the field a little bit. So I think, those two guys are nice fill-ins. As far as defense, I think both Williams and Starks are nice pickups as well. And, like I said, they'll bring some depth. They addresses the situation of Buster Skrine leaving, so I like those moves as well. And we'll see. It's obviously a very important draft coming up, but I did like the moves the Browns did make in free agency.
Talking with Tom Withers from the Associated Press. Tom, what do you think of the Browns' strategy this year? Because clearly it had to be a strategy based on the way they did everything to acquire compensatory picks, something that this organization has not done at all. They had the fewest in the NFL, just six since the program has been introduced.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Ravens have had about 46. So that's 40 more draft picks for the Ravens during that time. You don't have to be a mathematician to know that if they hit on 25% of them, they're getting 10 more players than the Browns got during that time. What do you think about that kind of shift in philosophy?
It's an interesting one, Nathan, isn't it? Because it's kind of an overlooked part of the way teams are built over the last few years. So
yep.
I think it's wise for them to kind of make that kind of move, especially when you're going to be losing, quality players like the Browns lost this year. And then, you factor that into losing a guy like Josh Gordon, you got to find other avenues in which to acquire talent. So, I think that is a smart move. And then, again, you got to use them wisely, though. I mean, that's the bottom line,
right?
Though. You can acquire all the picks you want to, but if you're not going to select the right players, it's not going to do you any good.
Tom, you're absolutely right. And acquiring talent at the quarterback position is something the Cleveland Browns are trying to figure out. And something that Nathan and I have been discussing, and Adam Schefter has come out and said it, and Charlie Casserly has had us linked to Marcus Mariota, trading up to 5th and 6th in his 2 most recent mock drafts. Why is there validity to this, why won't this story just go away if it's not?
Well, the story won't go away, number one, because of the Browns' issues at quarterback, and we're not exactly sure what the future holds. I mean, obviously, with signing Josh McCown in the offseason, there seems to be a fallback plan. You know, who knows what the future brings for Johnny Manziel. So I think it's very easy for especially these national guys to kind of look at the Browns and say, hey, they're desperate for a quarterback. They've got 2 first-round picks. They seem to be the likely candidate to be a team that would make a big move. Now, I'm not necessarily buying it at this point, only because, you know, they've devoted first-round picks in, what, 2 of the last 3 years for a quarterback, and it hasn't panned out yet. And let's be quite honest, too, you know, and to what I spoke about earlier, they need playmakers. So why not sit still at 12-19, get yourself 2 very solid players, and let's forget, too, you know, last year's first 2 first-round picks didn't work out. And so I think Ray Farmer's got a little bit of that hanging over his head. So, you know, to all of a sudden be then, you know, gambling again and moving up and down in that first round to me sounds very risky for a team that really can't afford to be, you know, throwing things around here. You know, not to say that it couldn't happen. You know, there's obviously some connection there with Mariota within the Browns now. So they've got a good idea of what he can and can't do. Again, we don't know what Johnny, you know, we don't know the future for Johnny Manziel. And, you know, I don't want to belabor that point, but, you know, he's got a long path ahead to get himself back on the field from both a personal and professional standpoint. So, you know, I can see why they went out and got McCown, but I can also see, you know, the argument that maybe they should just take the best players available at 12-19, you know, get a pass rusher, maybe get a wide receiver, possibly think about a running back late in the first round, or maybe with one of those first picks in the second round. They do have 6 of the first 115 picks, so they're going to be able to plug some holes. But I don't think there's this urgency, guys, to make all kinds of big moves, big, bold moves, just like they did last year, and get yourself back into position for a quarterback.
I think you're exactly right. Talking with Tom Withers from the Associated Press, I don't want that quarterback early. I want the first 3 picks to consist of a wide receiver or a tight end, and not in this order, but an interior defensive lineman and an edge rusher. I think those are the 3 biggest needs for this team. Now, you mentioned running back, which is interesting because Mel Kiper said that at 19, he has the Browns taking Todd Gurley. I like Crow, and I like West. I don't know why we need to bring in another running back. Plus, I don't think you take running backs in the first round anymore.
No, I think, you know, like I said, I think I would consider it maybe at 19. I would consider it with maybe your first pick in the second round. You know, a guy that I really like, and not just because I watched him a ton and, you know, saw him, you know, fortunately get stopped by the Buckeyes when they had to do it. Melvin Gordon is a tremendous breakaway threat. And, you know, he's also a guy who I think you could use out of the backfield to throw some short passes to, make him make guys miss and break off long gains. Let's be honest, guys. These last 2 years, I mean, think about the longest gains the Browns have had. I mean, they haven't had situations where guys are busting off 50 and 60-yard touchdowns. It just hasn't happened since, you know, Josh Gordon had that nice little run there 2 years ago. So, you know, I'm with you, Nathan. I really think either a run stopper or a pass rusher should be number 1 on the priority board, assuming, again, that you're not going to be taking a quarterback. And then I'm with you. I think I would look at either a running back or a wide receiver with that second pick.
Tom, my last question for you is, again, this is not to stir any pot, but Johnny Manziel was at the Texas Rangers game a few nights ago and last night at the Dallas Mavericks, got a Manziel jersey from the Dallas Maverick team. Is it a big deal that he's out? Do you have any problem with it, that he's in the public eye again? But as long as he's walking the straight and narrow, that's going to be part of his life, is to have to be in the public eye, correct?
Johnny Manziel is going to be in the public eye from now until he's 85 years old. He won the Heisman Trophy down in Texas. He's an iconic figure. He's a celebrity. So I've got no problem with that. In fact, I think it's great that Johnny is, you know, feels confident enough about himself to be able to go back out and be in the public and have people kind of, you know, keeping an eye on him. This is who he is, and he's going to have to deal with this at some point. You know, it's going to be interesting, I think, next week to see, you know, what goes on out of the availability with the media. Is Johnny going to be available? Is he going to talk to us? You know, we'll see. Like I said before, I really do wish Johnny the best. I think he's a good kid. You know, we didn't really get to know him that well last year. His access was, kind of limited to us. I tried to go over and get to know him a little bit on a personal level during the time in the locker room, and I liked the kid. I thought he, he handled himself pretty well. I heard mixed things about him through the year. We were told at times what a hard worker he was, and then I was hearing from people that he was the last player in the building and the first to leave. So I was always kind of mixed up as who the real Johnny Manziel was. But, I wish him nothing but the best. I hope he gets himself turned around. And, it remains to be seen what kind of a quarterback he can be. We don't have enough of a sample size, I don't think. I don't think anybody has enough of a sample size to make that judgment yet.
I think that's the most accurate statement there is we don't know what we have in Johnny Manziel. And we'll see what kind of player he is and what kind of a guy he is coming out of that rehabilitation stint that he just put in to try to improve himself as a human being. And hopefully that translates as well to being a player. Tom, I don't know if you had a favorite uniform combination now that you see them all, but have you been asking everybody that?
Yeah, you know what? I really like the brown top orange pants, and maybe that's because that's what Barkevious Mingo was wearing. And I think Barkevious Mingo could probably look good wearing, a smock. I mean, just, long and lean, and he just looked good. I'll tell you what, though, I liked almost all of them. I'll be quite honest with you. And the more that I looked at him, I started to look at the white top with the orange pants and the white
too.
Pants with the orange top. And I liked all of them, and I was actually kind of surprised that I thought the orange on orange on orange was okay as well that Dante Whitner was wearing. So I think it's kind of cool. I think it's, I think now that, the wow factor is kind of, over with and people having a chance to assess them a little bit and maybe, and get out into grab one at the team shop or wherever anybody's going to shop and you get a look at it. I think your mind is going to be changed because it was kind of hard to really get a view of them on TV, but up close and up in person, I thought they were pretty cool.
Tom, great stuff as always. Great to be talking with you. Enjoy the playoff run for the Cavs, the draft coming up for the Browns, and, of course, the Tribe. So lots to keep you busy here.
Amen. I'll see you guys soon.
All right, got it.
Thanks,
great
Tom.
Tom Withers from the Associated Press. When we come back, we'll get back on the phone lines, 216-578-0850. We'll keep talking draft. We'll hear some sound from some of the players of the Cleveland Browns talking about the upcoming draft as well on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars.